throughout Advent, considering the return of Jesus, his second coming, and its implication on our lives. Today in the gospel, we have this account of the wise men, right? They're bringing gifts. Gold, frankincense, myrrh, gifts of preparation, really. Preparation for what is to come. Preparation, acknowledging who Jesus is, why he came, and what's going to happen to him. They're interesting gifts, all pointing to his future, you know, his title, his position eternally, his role with us between God and man, his obedience to the Father through his suffering and death. I often think about what must Mary and Joseph have thought of these gifts. You know, I talked about this with the kids a little bit on Christmas Eve, but, you know, maybe after they left, Mary said, "Joseph, you know, we can keep the gold. That's helpful. And maybe even the frankincense, but that myrrh, that sends a shiver down my spine. Let's re-gift that." It's a strange gift, but we know why. Just getting the myrrh. It's a mystery that God would do that for us. You look at world religions, it's all about the people suffering and dying for the God to curry the God's favor. It's never about God coming and suffering and dying out of love and sacrifice for his people. Christianity is the only faith that has that. It differentiates it significantly from everything else out there. So the epistle lesson today is just beautiful. If you want to turn to it, you can. It's in Ephesians chapter 1, starting at the 3rd verse and then jumping over to the 15th verse. But it tells us that through Jesus and because of Jesus, we have been adopted by God. What an interesting concept, adoption. It shows up in Scripture here and there. You know, it means that we're not originally in the family. We aren't born in. It is not our birthright to be a part of the kingdom of God. It is our birthright to be stuck in the kingdom of darkness. And it is only through this mystery of the incarnation and the work of Jesus Christ that those three gifts that the wise men give him foreshadow that we have access to God in this way. Adoption. New family. There's no looking back. You know, you get new papers. A new name. In the psalm today, we read how he takes away our mourning and our sorrow and turns it into joy and into dancing. The Lord Jesus Christ takes away the pain and the suffering and the loss and the sin and the darkness in our lives and replaces it with his gift of salvation and life in the Spirit. When we get adopted into that family, we have access to all the rights and all the responsibilities of being a part of that family. Access to the closeness of a family relationship. Access to the inheritance. It's quite an inheritance. It will never decay. It will never rust. It will never be destroyed. It will never go away. It stands the test of time. In Ephesians chapter 2, it says this. Remember that you were at one time separated from Christ, alienated from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers to the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. Just consider that for a moment. Have you ever been in a place in life where you knew that you had no hope? Real absolute hopelessness. But now in Christ Jesus, you who were once far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who has made us both one and broken down his flesh in the dividing wall of hostility by abolishing the law of commandments expressed in ordinances, that he might create in himself one new man in place of the two, so making peace, and might reconcile us both to God in one body through the cross, thereby killing the hostility. And he came and preached peace to you who were far off, and peace to those who were near. For through him, we both have access in one spirit to the Father, so that you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God. So there's these ideas of adoption and citizenship that are running through scriptures. We are part of a different country without Christ. We are not in the kingdom of God. We have to have a way to be moved, to have our citizenship completely changed, to burn the boats from that old citizenship in the kingdom of darkness, and through Christ are translated into the kingdom of God's beloved Son. So think about it this way, maybe. You think about adoption and citizenship. You can dress like, talk like, walk like, and live like a U.S. citizen. But unless you were born here, or you have formally gone through the process of changing your citizenship, you are not a U.S. citizen. You can wear the clothes, you can say things the right way, depending on what part of the country you live in. You know, if you're in Boston, pack the cat, or whatever it is, you can talk like us. But unless you were born here, and unless you have changed your citizenship and gone through that extensive process, you're not a citizen. The U.S. sorts out non-citizens, at least it tries to, and returns them to where they belong. There must be an actual change in order to be a citizen. And the same is true for us with Christ. We are not born into the kingdom of heaven. We are born under the curse, right? We're back to the original sin, back to the very beginning. We are born under that. There is no escape. There is no hope for us. This is why the mystery of the incarnation is such a beautiful and powerful thing. Until we understand the darkness and depravity of the sin in our own hearts and the utter despair that we are born into, we can't really begin to grasp the magnitude of the incarnation, the mystery of God coming to die for us. When we trust the Lord, when we trust Jesus Christ with our salvation, not only is our citizenship translated out of the kingdom of darkness and into the kingdom of Jesus Christ, but our family name changes too. We don't just get a new country, we get a new family. That is beautiful. We're adopted into the family of God. We aren't a second-class citizen. We aren't, oh, you're the adopted one. We belong just as if we had been born there, because we are reborn there through Jesus Christ. And we have all the rights, the privileges, the inheritances, the expectations that go along with that too. Just as Jesus was given those gifts of preparation, we too, when our citizenship changes, are given gifts through the Holy Spirit that prepares us for this new life that we have in Christ. Gifts in the Holy Spirit, the gift of the Holy Spirit for the building up of the church, the building up of the kingdom, the building up of the body, right? For the redemption of the lost. We just sang, "Let all mortal flesh." Right? I don't know if that was a new one to you as well. That's just a beautiful hymn. Let all mortal flesh keep silence, and with fear and trembling stand, ponder nothing earthly minded, for with blessing in his hand, Christ our God to earth descendeth, our full homage to demand. It's nice poetry, but right in that first verse taints the gospel. It's all there. Christ comes. Our focus is clarified. We're often so caught up in mortal things, in fleshy things, in thinking about the stuff that's right in front of our faces, that we don't ponder the deeper things of an eternal nature that actually have a much greater impact on us. Our focus is clarified. Ponder nothing earthly minded. Our focus, it's shifted off of what are we having for Sunday dinner and on what is the Holy Spirit saying to me and what am I going to do about it? For with blessing in his hand, Christ our God to earth descendeth, right? Christ comes, he brings his gift of salvation, the blessing of grace, the access to the Father through relationship, right? In that last line, our full homage to demand. It's not a demanding with God's boot on our neck. It is a response of a joyful and grateful heart because of what Christ has done for us. How could we not offer our homage and our oblation to him? We're all eternal beings. And depending on where our citizenship is, depends where we spend eternity. It's a sobering thing to think about, but it's something that we need to let go of the earthly minded stuff and ponder that and consider that. When we grasp the depth of our sin, the greatness of God's grace, and the certainty of his second coming that we've just spent weeks talking about, hopefully we find ourselves in a place of deep gratitude and a sobering sense of the need to prepare ourselves for his second coming. And not only ourselves, but if we actually believe that, and it's not just something that we nod our head to, how can we not, with a great sense of urgency, seek to tell our friends, our family, our neighbors, and everybody in our path about the gospel, and to pray and intercede for those who do not yet know the Lord? So I've talked long enough. Now I'm going to ask for a little bit of participation. At the beginning of Advent, I invited us to a holy Advent and to consider how God was moving and changing you during this time. The Lord always wants to work in our lives. It doesn't take 4 weeks of Advent to do that. He will work in us whenever, wherever, however we will let him. But at the beginning, I invited us to consider that. What is God saying to you? How has God met you through Advent and through Christmas? Has anything changed in your life? And then, now what? So, at the risk of making you a little uncomfortable, would you please find somebody close to you and just share maybe one way how Christ met you during Advent or Christmas? Or maybe, if you have a deeper sense of his gift, how are you going to live now? How has something changed in your life? How are you going to be going forward now in consideration of what the Lord has done in you? So just take a couple of minutes. You can just talk husband and wife or friends close together or whatever the case may be. Those of you